Blog Talk Radio.
For the next 60 minutes, but we'll begin with the issue that is unfortunately become prevalent in our society, and especially sports in recent years, but definitely has been going on forever in America, and that is domestic abuse. This weekend you had Brandon Marshall stabbed by his wife, Nochi, I hope I get this girl's name right, Michi Nagami Marshall. He was stabbed in the abdomen and was rushed to the hospital, had emergency surgery. He's expected to make a full recovery. And she was, of course, arrested and has since been released on a $7,500 bond. Now, details of this have kind of crept out a little bit. You know, they had the 911 call come out today, which basically gave you nothing. I was going to play it, but it was nothing. It was like, you know, I have an emergency. It wasn't about barely 10 seconds long. It was very short, where they had his wife talking to the dispatcher, the opera dispatcher about Brandon being stabbed. It gave you basically nothing. But this is not the first time that Marshall has had incidents with females. This is not the first incident that he and his current wife, have had. 2009, they were publicly seen fighting, kicking and punching, she was kicking him, and he was going back and forth. Nothing came out of it. No charges were filed or pressed. And then you go back further along to 2007, where this was before he was involved with his current wife, where he was involved with an ex-girlfriend by the name of Rashida Watley, who had known him basically since they were kids, 12, 13 years old. And the kind of things that he did to her, and you see some of these pictures, and if you hear the story, he probably, I would venture to say, should be locked up right now. Google Rashida Watley and at Outside the Lines. Google that. It's just a story that ESPN Outside the Lines did about 2 years ago, depicting their relationship and the kind of things that occurred within that relationship, as far as him basically beating her up. She went back to him. He continued to beat her up, and so forth. This is before he joined, around the same time that he joined the Denver Broncos. So he has had a history of domestic abuse. And finally, you know, Friday night, it caught up with him. It caught up with him because this girl, his wife, Michi Nagami Marshall, was defending herself and took a knife and stabbed her. And I'm wondering, you know, at what point, and when this lockout is uplifted, which it should be shortly, considering the announcement that was made earlier by with Susan Nelson lifting the lockout, granting the players their injunction. What would the NFL do about this situation? Out of all the decisions the NFL has on this plate, as far as all these arrests that have been made since the lockout started back in March, this to me is the one that I'm going to pay the most attention to. Because it is clear to me that Brandon Marshall, and it should be to anybody else, that Brandon Marshall has a serious problem. Now, I don't advocate violence, domestic violence by any stretch of the imagination. But if you are the wife or girlfriend of somebody who's whooping your ass, at some point, you just got to walk away. Now, this girl, let's put Rashida Watley, let's put her to the side for a second. His current wife, again, this is not the first time that there have been any incidents with her. She's been knowing him going back to when he was in college at Central Florida, was dating him, like, I'm assuming either during the time he was messing with Rashida Watley or shortly after the time he was messing with Rashida Watley. So she knows Brandon Marshall. She knows what he's like. She knows, you know, what he's about, his history. Yeah, I'm sure she knows this. I'm sure she has some girlfriends say, hey, you know, are you sure you want to mess with this dude? Are you sure? I mean, you know his history. Women talk. let's be real about that. And so you know this guy's history. You probably had incidents before you were married, when you were engaged, and then you go and marry the dude. You know, like, he's going to become less violent with $50 million in the bank. You know, if you couldn't tell him nothing back in his Central Florida days when he was probably, you know, driving an escort and was eating steakums, how are you going to tell this dude something now when he's probably driving a Bentley and eating prime rib every night? So, again, you know, females have to get smarter about these situations. Is it worth it? Yeah, you might be living a life of luxury. You might have, you know, multiple credit cards. You might be driving a Porsche. But you're getting your ass beat every time this dude decides to snap. Or if he has a bad day at the office, meaning for Brandon Marshall, if he drops two or three passes in the game, there might be a chance that he will come home and take it out on you. And again, I'm glad that Brandon Marshall's okay. I'm glad that the stabbing was not fatal, didn't hit any major arteries. You know, remember, especially if you're a Redskins fan, what happened to Sean Taylor, those, you know, stabbings could be dicey. You know, this girl could have hit a major artery. Who knows? He could not be here right now. So I'm glad that he's living and will make a full recovery. But the other side, part of me says I'm really not sympathetic for Brandon Marshall, that he basically almost had this coming, so to speak. So again, if you're this girl, if you're his wife, it seems like it got to a point where basically enough was enough. For somebody to pull a knife, that means it's like, yo, get away from me. He's about to beat her again to pull a knife. I'm down during the course of that conversation. He was like, "Damn, I wanted chicken instead of lobster," and then he started arguing. She decided to pull a knife. Ah, no, I don't think that was the case, where it was something that simple. But again, details will come out in the next coming days, coming weeks, to where we find out what exactly happened that particular night. But the two things that we want to focus in on: number one, what the NFL is going to do about this once this lockout is officially done, and two, you know, how, you know, what does you know, what does his wife, where does she go from here? Because let's say NFL suspends him, she goes back to him, it's going to happen again. It's going to happen again. Just getting started here on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. 40 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour. When we return, we will have today's headlines. A lot of big headlines today. A certain coach, college football coach, is in trouble. And a win for NFL players. We'll talk about that. And also the NBA playoffs as well on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Remember, the call number is 347-215-6180. You can follow me at twitter.com/CyrilQuinn, /WilliamJuro, or hit me up on facebook.com/CyrilQuinn. We'll talk about the NFL and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Back here. Welcome back.
Well, welcome back to the Cyril Quinn Review. 42 minutes after the 7 o'clock hour. I'm your host, Cyril Quinn, taking you to 8:30 tonight, as we discuss the world of sports and also entertainment. Today's headlines, Judge Susan Nelson has granted the players their motion and lifted the lockout. Well, now, and lifted the lockout, this is not a surprising decision by any stretch of imagination. It seems like she was leaning towards the players towards the latter part of last week. Now the NFL will go and attempt to stay the decision and appeal the decision. And, you know, good luck with that from an NFL perspective. The bottom line is there's going to be football in 2011. Now, the lockout officially has not been lifted, officially. Still some things that have to be ironed out before that officially happens. But it's going to happen. There's going to be football in 2011. This thing, in terms of going to trial, could take the whole entire 2011 season over the course of the trial, and then, you know, you still have some lawsuits in place with Tom Brady, Peyton Manning, and what have you. But this is absolutely a win for the players. There are over 500 free agents. You have the NFL draft coming up this week, but again, a big blow to the NFL and the owners. As Judge Susan Richard Nelson has lifted the lockout and granted the players their motion that was filed, and again, you know, you're going to have football in 2011. I mean, that's the bottom line. Unless something crazy happens, there will be football. We'll see what the NFL's next move will be. I'm sure the NFL is going to try. Is definitely going to fight this tooth and nail. But if you're a fan of football, then this certainly was a great day for you as a fan of the NFL. The NCAA is officially acknowledges that Jim Tressel did lie to them about misleading information on his players. Of course, Tressel, you know, claimed that he had, you know, didn't have knowledge of what was going on with the players, when in fact he knew exactly what was going on. And of course, he sent out the email to Sarniak, a guy, a mentor of one, Terrell Pryor. He knew exactly. Drew Trussell knew exactly what was going on, and knew that he was using players that were ineligible over the course of this past football season. And to me, the NCAA is going to hit him and hit Ohio State hard. Okay, Jim Trussell, you know, I would not be surprised if Jim Trussell either resigned under pressure or was fired by Ohio State, because it gets to a point to where if you are Ohio State and you say to the NCAA, hey, if we get rid of him, will that lessen the penalties for the future of our program? As great as Coach Jim Trussell is, as great as he's been for that university and the national championship appearances, the one national championship that he won in 2002, he's not bigger than Ohio State. You know, Ohio State had Woody Hayes. They've had great coaches before him, and they will have great coaches after him. So if I'm Gene Smith, who's the athletic director, if I'm the president of Ohio State, I have to seriously consider of getting rid of Jim Trussell. And that is the poll question of the day for the Silicon Review. Should Ohio State fire Jim Trussell? And remember, Ohio State falls into that as a university and as an athletic department. They fall under that repeat offender. They fall under the repeat offender because, remember, 5 years ago, you had Jim O'Brien commit violations when he was the head coach of Ohio State basketball. 25 prospects will attend this year's NFL draft, which will start primetime ESPN on this Thursday, April 28th. And I'm wondering who's going to get left out. We know certain players who are going to get drafted automatically: Patrick Peterson, Cam Newton. But some of these guys who have been invited or who will attend the first round and will attend Radio City Music Hall, which the draft will take place at, they're not going to get drafted in the first round. How about when you get up there, have your parents, you got the brand new suit, and your name doesn't get called? And then if your name doesn't get called for the first round, the second, third rounds aren't until the next day, aren't until Friday. It's a three-day event where you had first round on Thursday, second and third rounds on Friday, and, of course, rounds 4 through 7 will take place on Saturday. So I would have to be a guaranteed top 10, top 15 pick. If I'm middle first rounder, if I'm middle to late first rounder, I might consider not going, to be honest with you. But, again, they will have a record 25 prospects attend the NFL draft on Thursday. 347-215-6180 is your call number on this latest edition of the Silicon Review. When we return, we'll get into the NBA playoffs, the Knicks at home packing, and the champs are in trouble. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Silicon Review. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Wow. Phil Jackson going in on his Los Angeles Lakers, his two-time defending champion Los Angeles Lakers. We punked out. That's why you got to love Phil Jackson. You got to love the two coaches who I love the most as far as quotes and their post-game press conferences is one, Phil Jackson, and two, Greg Popovich, because they shoot straight from the hip. You know, Phil Jackson, for all his psychological zen and all the stuff that goes along with some of his manipulation of officials, he basically calls it the way he sees it. If you remember, in game two, during halftime, during the third quarter, they was interviewing him, and he was asked about Paul Gasol. They were like, well, Phil, is Paul Gasol being as aggressive as you liked him to be? Phil's one simple answer, Phil was like, no. No philosophizing, no, you know, BSing, no. So Phil Jackson calling out his Lakers for being soft, basically, because when your front line basically gets out-rebounded by a six-foot point guard, that's soft. And that's what transpired yesterday evening, as the New Orleans Hornets guaranteed themselves another home game by taking out the Lakers 93-88 to tie the series at two. Chris Paul getting a tremendous game, triple-double, 27-13 and 14 assists, or 15 assists, second triple-double of the series. But the big news, even besides the Lakers losing the game and all the Phil Jackson stuff, is, of course, Kobe Bryant with the ankle. He twists his ankle late in the game as he fouled Jared Jack, incidentally, and left the building, left the arena on crutches. He's going to play. How effective he is, who knows, especially defensively. Offensively, he should not hurt him as much because, you know, he's developed that old man game where he'll post up. You know, he's a skilled player. He doesn't depend on his athleticism anymore at this stage of his career. But defensively, you know, I mean, can you trust him on Chris Paul if you want to change up defensive looks? Who knows? You're going to see probably game time tomorrow evening before they play against the Hornets at Staples Center. You know, I still think the Lakers are going to win this series in six. This is what the Lakers do. I mean, Lakers, this is how, you know, Kenny Smith says it, our buddy Kenny Smith says it on TNT better than anyone. It's Hollywood, baby. It's Hollywood. You know, they go out there, win an ugly game two, then play near perfect basketball in game three. You say, oh, nobody can beat this team. Then they come out game four, kind of go through the motions, keep the Hornets in the game. Chris Paul goes crazy. Next thing you know, the sky is falling, and people are wondering whether or not the Lakers can win another playoff game. Oh, this is the drama that the Lakers provide, and only the Lakers can provide. I fully expect them to win game five and to win a tough, close game, say, in game six. Would not be shocked if it went seven, though. I'll tell you that. Would not be shocked. A team that's even in more trouble than Los Angeles Lakers is the Portland Trailblazers. Excuse me. We have two teams, Portland and San Antonio. San Antonio will play Memphis Grizzlies tonight in probably a season deciding game. As veteran and experienced as San Antonio is, if they lose this game, then their season's over. I cannot see them coming back from a 3-1 deficit. They have been totally outplayed by a Memphis team that is bigger than them, a Memphis team that has no fear of them, a Memphis team that wanted to play them and basically tank the last couple of games in order to finish the number eight seed in the eighth spot. Mike Conley has went toe-to-toe with Tony Parker. Gasol and Zach Randolph have virtually, as a tandem, been unstoppable in the post. And right now, San Antonio does not have many answers for the Grizzlies right now. If you're a San Antonio fan, you're going to have to hope that the moment becomes too big for the young Grizzlies and that they just can't close the deal. That's what you're going to have to hold, because right now Memphis is better. And the matchup completely favors the Memphis Grizzlies right now. So San Antonio is in a lot of trouble. We'll see if they can even up the series tonight down at the FedEx Forum. Also this weekend, you saw one of the greatest comebacks in NBA playoff history, maybe combined with maybe one of the greatest collapses in NBA history. I'm talking about the Dallas-Portland game. Now, I was at work during that game as far as covering it, you know, part of what I do, you know, watching the game, covering it, logging the highlights, what have you. And, you know, to hear it on radio, which I had the luxury of doing, of hearing it, to hear it on radio and then actually watch it, you know, there's something that you just can't believe it unless you see it. I mean, Dallas was in total control of that game. They're up by 23 points in late in the third quarter. You're saying to yourself, there's no way. You're wondering where Portland was even going to get scoring from. And they go out there in the fourth quarter and just can't miss a shot. They hit 15 to 20. Brandon Roy, who you feel good for, because considering what, you know, his knee struggles and his mental struggles as far as confidence, goes out there and puts on a show in the fourth quarter. And that, this is why Dallas cannot win a championship, because Dallas is a mentally weak and fragile team. Yes, they have talent. Yes, they're one of the deepest teams, if not the deepest team in the NBA. Yes, they have a surefire Hall of Famer in Dirk Nowitzki. Yes, they have one of the best six men in basketball in Jason Terry. Yes, they have an all-time great point guard and a very good coach in Rick Carlisle. But they have no heart. I mean, that's the bottom line. Teams have no fear of the Dallas Mavericks. They don't. And teams perceive the Dallas Mavericks to be soft. And you know what? They are soft. You know, when you blow an 18-point lead in the fourth quarter, I don't care where the game is at, home or away, you cannot win a championship. It's not going to happen. And tonight is a golden opportunity for the Portland Trailblazers. Because you want to say, well, there's no carryover effect, or, you know, change of venue will make a difference to the Dallas home crowd. Yeah, you can say that. But again, where in the past has this team mentally been able to rebound from a collapse? I would give them one moment. They had one moment back in 2006 against San Antonio, Game 7, where they blew a 20-point lead and were able to win in overtime in San Antonio. I'll give them that. That was the one time that they had a little controversy, and had a little adversity and were able to overcome it. Ever since that, it's been one choke after the other. 2006 with Miami, 2007 losing as a number one seed to Golden State. You know, choking against San Antonio for a couple years in terms of the first round of the playoffs. It's been one choke after the other for the Dallas Mavericks. And I would not be surprised if Portland goes out there and wins tonight and then comes back and wraps it up in Game 6 and back in Portland on Wednesday. It would not shock me. Also tonight you have Oklahoma City and Denver. I think that's a sweep. Oklahoma City has been the most impressive team through the course of these playoffs as far as I'm concerned, playing great. Durant, Westbrook, Ibaka, all, you know, having it all going right now. Denver, I don't trust them. I know two of the three games have been close, but I expect that series to be over tonight. Tonight. As far as the Eastern Conference goes, Derrick Rose will play Game 5 against Indiana. Give Indiana a lot of credit for not packing it in, even though they had almost one of the great collapses of all time, who were happening down in Game 4. Miami, Philadelphia, same story for Philadelphia. Excuse me, for Miami, can't close out. You know, not able to put a team away, not able to execute in the last minute as far as game winning, not only game winning shots, but just getting a good shot. You know, LeBron James should not have had the ball with X amount of seconds to go. Put the ball in Dwayne Wade's hands, he's going to get fouled or score the basket. You thought that Miami had learned that late in the regular season, but apparently it's come up and reared its ugly head again. They'll wrap it up in 5 because Philly had their one moment in the series. And give Philly credit for fighting tooth and nail when they could have easily packed it in like the New York Knicks did. What a joke the Knicks are. What a joke. Now, if you're a Celtics fan, I'm not going to take anything away from you, because you have to be happy with Rajon Rondo being back. And Rajon Rondo is back. So that gives the Celtics definitely a chance to get to the finals and possibly win a championship with him playing at the level that he's playing at. But the New York Knicks came out there and basically said, you know what, we'll see you next October. We'll see you next October. The only reason that game was even relatively remotely close is the Celtics fell asleep at the wheel, and you heard Doc Rivers in the huddle saying, hey, you know, we basically took our foot off the gas. Let's, you know, let's get it together. But the Knicks, you know, Knicks are the Knicks. Yes, you have Carmelo Anthony and Amari Stoudemire, but you don't have a coach. And, you know, I mean, the Knicks need a lot of pieces. They need a lot of pieces. They're just not – they're not deep enough. They need some depth, they need some more quality depth, and it'll be a very interesting offseason down in Gotham City. Still to come on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, we will have entertainment news, a couple of famous birthdays, and some news on a former American Idol icon. We'll talk about that and much, much more on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. We'll be right back. Back to this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 347-215-6180 is your call number. 2 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour on this 25th of April, 2011. Entertainment news. Simon Cowell is expected to name Paula Abdul as a co-host for his upcoming series, The X Factor, which will debut this fall. And, you know, it'll be very – now, nothing has been – an official announcement has not been made, but as you all know, Cal and Abdul are very close, considering work with each other back on the American Idol. And, again, sources say that he's close to picking Abdul as one of the hosts on the upcoming show. It'd be very interesting to watch the kind of ratings that show draws as the comparisons to American Idol. Despite the fact that Cal's no longer American Idol, the ratings are still there, and it seems like that's going to be one of those franchises that just stands, you know, by itself. That, you know, again, Cal, you know, came up with the whole concept. And is exactly, there would be no American Idol without Simon Cowell. But I'm very surprised on the popularity of this show following Cowell's departure. But apparently, people still like it. Now, you have some who have said that it's too much of a love fest, that there's nobody objective or keeping it or being real with some of these contestants and telling them to say, hey, you're just not any good, that they missed that aspect of the program, and that's something that Cal brought. Cal was shot straight from the hip saying, hey, you need to improve or you just suck as a performer. But other people that I've talked to say, hey, you know, the show went on and I still love it and I'm still watching. So we'll see we'll see what Cal's new show is like coming this fall. His former Sony head, Norio Ogaga, has passed away at the age of 81. Now, the reason why this guy is so important is he is the inventor. He helped was one of the main people in developing the CD back in September of 1976. You say, and this obviously this is a big deal, because there was a time, can you imagine life without the CD? From a technology standpoint, can you imagine tape decks? It's almost like life without DVDs versus life with video cassettes, videotapes. Like, I remember you used to walk to school or walk to basketball practice and be, listening to a Tribe Called Quest, cassette tape. And more times than not, when you got a Tribe Called Quest, you would listen to the tape, listen to it throughout. Their music was that good. But, on their last, one of their final albums back in 96, a couple songs where I really wasn't feeling like that, but you would have to listen to it anyway because you didn't feel like, rewinding or fast forwarding or stopping at the perfect place in terms of the start of the next song. With a CD, of course, you don't have to worry about that kind of thing because you track one, track two. So that, I just couldn't imagine from a technology standpoint, life without CDs. I mean, it's just, to be dealing with tape, I can't remember the last time I watched a video cassette. Well, maybe in college. I was in college. I'm not even gonna lie. I had a VCR in college when I first started college. That was 12 years ago, right? 1999, 98. That was eternity ago. Even that was a pain in the neck. You have to, you don't fast forward stuff, but you have to get up. Got the remote. The DVD was a great invention. The CD was a great adventure. So thank you, Norio, as he passed away at the age of 81. Celebrity birthdays. A couple of famous people today have turned a year older. And we're going to begin with our buddy, Al Pacino, one of the great actors of all time, without question. Al Pacino is 71 years old, of course. You know him from The Godfather, Serpico, Dog Day Afternoon. Again, one of the great actors of all time. Won his only Academy Award back in 1992 for Son of a Woman. 1993 for Son of a Woman. Beat out Denzel Washington for Malcolm X. Which, let's be honest. That should not have been the case whatsoever. But it was more of a lifetime achievement award, as he should have won an Oscar long before that. But the thing about Al Pacino, now we love Al Pacino, okay? But, he hasn't made a good movie in about 12 years. Probably his last good movie probably was The Insider with Russell Crowe. That probably was his last good movie. But it got to a point with Al Pacino where he went from, don't ever take sides against the family again, ever. To, you do what you're told. He became a yeller. What happened, Al? Was this a midlife crisis? Was you going through something? He just started, he was so cool in those Godfather movies, even in Serpico. He was cool. He was just real calm. Wasn't yelling, but then just, I don't know. Every role from 1997, Devil's Advocate. It started in Devil's Advocate. If you go back, and Devil's Advocate is a great movie, by the way. Great movie. You go back to the Devil's Advocate, when he's yelling, he's the devil, he's yelling, and he goes through that whole scene, and God is, And, he's going through that whole speech with Keanu Reeves, when he reveals to Keanu Reeves that he is the devil. So it started with that. And it carried on to just him just yelling. Every role he was in, he was just screaming. So that's where Al Pacino is at right now in his career. But we love Al, one of the all-time greats. Also, Hank Azaria, our buddy. Hank Azaria is 46, 47 years old. Hank Azaria, who if you're a Simpsons fan, you can't help but to know him. Does a lot of the voices on The Simpsons, including Mo the bartender. Very talented individual. Azera has been in some good movies as well. Was in Heat, Pretty Woman, and also Quiz Show. So he's also a very accomplished actor as well. He's 47. And Renee Zellweger is 42. Renee Zellweger, get that right. She was in her Bitty Bop movies at the beginning of her career, but of course made her coming out party was in 96 with Jerry Maguire, where, you know, that whole scene, You Had Me at Hello. She later would win an Oscar for her role in Cold Mountain as Best Supporting Actress, and is just one of the biggest stars out there in Hollywood right now. So there you go with the celebrity birthdays and some entertainment news. Still to come on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, we'll look back at the weekend that was in Major League Baseball, as it was sweeps weekend for a couple teams. We'll talk about that, and we'll also talk about some hockey. Yeah, we'll get into some hockey as well. That's coming up on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Hour on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review, as we discuss the world of sports and entertainment. Very good weekend for the Red Sox. The Red Sox sweep the Los Angeles Angels four straight games. Get great pitching out of Dice K, John Lackey. Now have won five straight and find themselves just one game under the 500 mark and right back in the AL East race. It was just a matter of time before the Red Sox got their act together. And again, Dice K, who it sounds like was basically one start away from being just, I don't know, either sent to the minors or just taken out of the rotation. Right now, like his last two starts, he's been off the charts. A start he had last week against Toronto, pitched great over the weekend against Los Angeles. So we'll see if he can keep that up. Also, Philadelphia had their way with the San Diego Padres. They won. They also won four straight. San Diego scored three runs in that series as Philadelphia continued its dominant starting pitching with the likes of Roy Halladay and Cole Hamels as well. Atlanta got back on their feet with sweeping the San Francisco Giants in three games to nothing. Atlanta now is 11-12 after quietly getting off to a slow start. Kind of series that could basically turn around a season for the Atlanta Braves, who have been struggling up until that point. So baseball news, former Texas Ranger President Tom Schieffer, who is the younger brother of CBS's Bob Schieffer, will take over day-to-day operations from a financial business standpoint for the Los Angeles Dodgers. So, you know, Commissioner Bud Selig wants somebody who is just keeping up basically what the Dodgers are doing with their money and how they're spending it. The Dodgers cannot – this is how short of a leash the Dodgers are, or how tight of a leash the Dodgers are on right now financially. they cannot do anything from a terms of a transaction that is over $5,000 without the approval of Major League Baseball. That's how much deep doo-doo there in terms of with the whole Frank McCourt situation. So this guy apparently has a strong background in business and, you know, dealing with finances. He will be the head of that from on a day-to-day basis. Also some drama in New York. Just like the Lakers, I mean, the Yankees, this is what the Yankees do as well. They keep us not only entertained with their play on the field, but off the field there has to be, you know, always something going on. Derek Jeter apparently not only has a problem with A-Rod, but he also has a problem with general manager Brian Cashman. In an upcoming book that's going to be published, that's going to come out later this year by ESPN New York's Ian O'Connor. Derek Jeter and Brian Cashman allegedly got into it during contract negotiations. That got ugly. You know, before the season, Jeter wasn't happy with the whole idea of the details of his contract getting out public. Cashman thought that the contract was fair and Cashman basically saying, "Hey, look, we're giving you $54 million. Okay, I'm going to give you 3 years, $51 million. You know, why are you complaining? It's not, you know, what's going on? Why?" To me, I'll put the onus on Derek Jeter from this standpoint. Number one, you are in New York. Okay, this is not Alaska. This is not Dalzell, South Carolina. This is New York. So I can, and personally, right now, if I wanted to, I could go on USAtoday.com to the salary database and find out what Derek Jeter is making. Now, can I find out specifics of the deal? Specifics of the deal? No. In terms of incentive clauses and things of that nature, no. But I can go find out what Derek Jeter is making and what he has made for his career. And I'm sorry, I just don't want to hear from a guy who has made over $200 million in terms of salary. That does not even include numerous endorsements that he's had playing in the Big Apple. You know, Derek Jeter right now is hitting .257 with 5 RBIs. Now, yeah, it's still early in the season, but again, .257 with 5 RBIs. And apparently Cashman said some other things about basically make it nice with A-Rod. You need to improve your defense. I had no problem with the improve your defense, but the make it nice with A-Rod thing is a bit much to me. That's the only part of this that I disagree with Brian Cashman from a Brian Cashman perspective. Listen, they don't have to love each other. Just respect each other on the field and play together. The whole idea that they have to be buddy-buddy, it was evident that it got to a point in the mid part of this decade that Jeter and A-Rod were not that close. I mean, they grew up. They came up in the mid '90s. They were basically buddy buddy, like best friends. But at some point, the relationship went sour, and that's fine. I don't see a big deal in that. So I don't understand why, you know, there has to be a public perception that they are just the great, that they're bosom buddies. I never understood that, and you know, frankly, who cares? But I don't want to hear it from Derek Jeter. And now Jeter hasn't came out and said anything recently. This is all going to be published in a O'Connor book. But I'm not with Jeter as far as the whole complaining about the details of the contract being leaked and people saying this, people saying that. You know the Yankee organization, and you know about New York. You know about the Steinbrenners. They tend to call out players publicly. Okay, that's what happens. So it is what it is. You're making $17 million a year. You're overpaid right now. So just be happy that a team, you know, that the Yankees overpaid you and gave you another contract. Because I guarantee you, had Derek Jeter went out there on the open market, he would not receive nowhere near. He wouldn't receive half of that, barely half of that in the open market. Nobody's giving a guy, 36-year-old shortstop, who is no longer the defensive player that he once was, who's going to hit, you know, 275 and probably have 60 RBIs, $17 million a year. This is not going to happen. When we return, we will talk about sports' best-kept secret and wrap things up with closing thoughts. We'll be right back on this latest edition of the Cyril Quinn Review. Welcome back to this latest edition of the Saturday Morning Wake Up, of the Cyril Quinn Review. You know I was going to do it. You know at least one time I was going to slip and cross and mention the other name, the name of my other show. So it's better late than never. 22 minutes after the 8 o'clock hour, Cyril Quinn taking you to 8:30. And to all my hockey friends out there, my NHL fans, and I know there's some of you out there, I simply apologize because I really haven't gotten to the hockey or haven't talked about the hockey. I've been into it, but I haven't talked about it. So I'm going to give you your 5 minutes as we wrap up the show. If you haven't paid attention to these playoffs, then you're missing out on a treat. The NHL playoffs this year, the first round, have been off the charts. Right now, Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay are battling. Tampa Bay is up 2-1. Tampa Bay is trying to force a Game 7 that will take place on Wednesday night back at Pittsburgh. Amazingly, Pittsburgh is winning the series despite no Sidney Crosby and no Evgeny Malkin. You're talking about two of the top 10 players in the sport. Crosby is the best player in the sport, and Malkin certainly, like I said, is top 10, minimum, at worst top 10. So they're still, you know, hanging in there and leading the series. Later on, you're going to have San Jose in Game 6 taking on the L.A. Kings. This past weekend, you had Nashville and Washington advancing. Washington, if you're a Washington Capitals fan, you have to like what you've seen so far. The Capitals being able to win games without scoring, you know, six or eight or nine goals, being able to win games with goaltending and defense. Capitals, I'm telling you, Capitals right now look like a team that can definitely get to the Stanley Cup. I like this team much better than what I saw last year when they were kind of like that finesse team that was kind of soft defensively and really didn't have a clue as far as goaltending goes. And you really didn't trust their goaltender, but Nureyev has been great so far through the course of these playoffs, and especially against the Rangers. Two, you have a great doubleheader tomorrow. And it just can't get any better than having two Game 7s. Philly and Buffalo, it has been one of the most entertaining series of this year's playoffs. Philly and Buffalo will have a decisive Game 7. Philly, of course, won. Of course, was able to come back on Saturday. Or yesterday. Or was it yesterday against Buffalo? And won in overtime 5-4. On a Leno goal, they will have a decisive Game 7 at Philadelphia. How about Philadelphia? Philadelphia, you just can't kill them. I mean, last year they come back from 3-0 against against Boston and win that series, and with, you know, losing the Stanley Cup, of course, to Chicago, and now they're trying to come back. They're trying to come back against Buffalo. Also, you have Vancouver, who is on the cusp of one of his historical collapse against the Chicago Blackhawks, the defending champions. Chicago's an eighth seed this year. They're not very good. They lost a lot of talent from last year's team. They were down 3-0. Now they find themselves up, tied at 3. All the pressure on Vancouver. Vancouver's goalie has been getting lit up over the past couple of games. Roberto Luongo, who has, I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, from our hockey junkies out there, an 11-year contract. Okay, he has 11 years left on this contract. He gets pulled out. He's going to be back between the pipes for Game 7. So his confidence has to be shaky right now. So you have a deciding Game 7 in Vancouver. Boy, if Chicago comes back and wins that series, Vancouver will be the third or fourth team to ever blow a 3-0 lead. Of course, you saw, you know, the Islanders, Toronto, saw the Islanders come back in 75. Toronto came back in, I believe, 1942, and with the Flyers coming back in last year against Boston. So that's, you know, the series is tied at 3. Boston, Montreal is still ongoing. That's been a great physical series. Boston, Montreal, that's been a great physical series as well. So the NHL playoffs have been exciting, to say the least, and I will definitely start to give it some more attention as the playoffs, as we get deeper into the playoffs. Again, Pittsburgh and Tampa Bay are playing as we speak. Also, with the NBA, you have a couple matchups. San Antonio and Memphis are playing right now. San Antonio is up early on late in the first quarter, 18-15. Memphis could take a commanding 3-1 lead if they are to win tonight. And in about a couple minutes, right after the show, basically, you will have Dallas trying to redeem itself and take a 3-2 lead over the Portland Trail Blazers as Dallas is coming off that collapse on Saturday evening. So then you go with the NBA and NHL as well. Of course, we opened the program talking about the whole Brandon Marshall ordeal. Brandon Marshall was stabbed on Friday night. This story broke on Saturday morning, and he was stabbed by his wife, Michi Nagami Marshall. This is not the first time that the two have gotten into it. They had an incident a couple of years ago where they were fighting and kicking each other, basically, in public back in 2009. Marshall, of course, has the history of domestic violence, the whole Rashida Wiley ordeal, back in, obviously, 2007. Again, if you want to hear more about that, I would definitely go to Google Outside the Lines. You can Google Outside the Lines Rashida Wiley or Outside the Lines Brandon Marshall, and they will have a whole piece on that. It's about 13 minutes long, and, you know, this is nothing new for this guy. This happened before with him, and I'm very interested to see what the NFL does about this once this lockout is officially lifted, and once they're able to make moves on guys' personal conduct issues. Remember, since the lockout began back in March, there have been a number of arrests. 14, I believe the number was 14 arrests. You know, Aqib Talib, who is expected to be released by Tampa Bay, Mike Vrabel. So you've had a number of Dez Bryant not being arrested, but his whole ordeal where he owes money to a jewelry broker, and also to a jewelry broker, his whole the thing that he's dealing with. So a number of incidents have happened since the lockout began, but I definitely will be focused in on how the NFL handles this Brandon Marshall situation, how the Dolphins handle the Brandon Marshall situation. I mean, they just signed this guy to a, you know, basically $50 million deal. I believe it was well over, I think, $15 to $20 million in terms of his salary. So signing bonus. So we'll see how he deals with that. We'll see how he deals with that. For my audience, that my live audience, again, the show is no longer on live, but for the rest of my audience, for Blog Talk Radio, if you want to catch the rest of the show, just go to my page on blogtalkradio.com/surrealquinn, and you can catch the rest of the show. Upcoming programming, possibly I will be on with Dee Perez over the course of this week, somewhere between either Wednesday or Thursday. Also, you can catch the Saturday morning wake-up call at 11:30 a.m. on Saturday. We'll have a lot to follow in terms of NBA playoffs, NFL draft, as well as some of our regular segments, Are You Kidding Me? And React Quotes. So enjoy the playoffs and the NBA playoffs and NHL playoffs, and enjoy your evening. I will see you soon. So long.